So by all means, don't wait as long as I did to get baptized. It was 7 years, and I was in Hawaii with Greg Laurie, and looked out there at that ocean and said to Greg, well, here we have all this water around us. What's stopping me from being baptized right now? And so in 1981, after coming to the Lord in 74, we were baptized. So, and it is, it's just a joyous experience. And we love to do it up in Boulder Creek, where Pastor Kevin told you in Evan G. Fine Park, we have a really special place that we've been baptizing for many years. I can't even remember how many years now we've been going up there. So please, if you haven't been baptized, if you've waited 7 years, it's okay. You can still be baptized. The main thing is, who's tucked away in your heart? Jesus. Amen? Amen. Does anybody need a Bible this morning? Just go like this. All right, we need one up here. Charles, anybody else? All righty. You can turn in your Bibles to the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. And we have been looking at what is commonly called the Lord's Prayer. We're going to bring it to a conclusion today. I hope taking the time to look at the various components of this prayer, which is really the disciples' prayer. It's a prayer that Jesus gave to his disciples to show the various components that as we approach God, this is where our heart should be. This is where the starting places are. You know, it's interesting that we as believers have complete access to the throne of God day and night. It's like you have one of those all access passes that only a few VIP people get when they go to concerts or sporting events or other little things, you know, and they hang them around their neck, and that means I can go this. Some of them are restricted, but some of them are all access. You have an all access pass right to the very throne of God. Isn't that awesome? I mean, at any moment, at any time, day or night, you know, you can go there. Now, there is one qualification to get this pass. You have to know someone. You know, you have to know someone to get one of those passes to go into the concert backstage area as well. But here we have to know God's only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And if we know Him in a personal way, then we have that all-access pass to go to the throne room of God day and night. But it's about knowing Him. If we do not know Him, then, you know, we're not going to get very far. And all that security is going to stop. No, it's really not security. It's just your lack of faith, of not believing. And that's what it is, putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And you've got that all-access pass to go before the throne of God day and night, to obtain mercy, to find grace to help in time of need, is what the writer of Hebrews says. Now, Jesus made it very clear, though, and as I said, you have to know someone. One has to know Him as their personal Lord and Savior. And in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus Himself made this very clear when He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And so it's in knowing Him and then following Him. Now, this prayer is it's a beautiful prayer as it stands alone. And many churches say this prayer every single Sunday morning at their services. And the real power of it, though, is meaningless for a non-believer, because they're just not going to pray this prayer with the same understanding that hopefully we have learned and gained as we have taken a look at each of the phrases of this particular prayer. It's an outline prayer that Jesus gave to His disciples, those who have have fallen in love with him. I love that song. We keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. And that's how our relationship with God is, as we're spending time with him, as we're in communion with him, as we're in fellowship with him. There's no way in knowing him that you will not just continuously fall in love with him over and over and over again as you're fellowshipping with him, and he bestows his goodness and his grace and his mercy upon our lives. But so it also speaks of complete surrender. And so this is how we as believers approach the throne of God. We come and we acknowledge that our God is a personal God. He is a living being, our Father, which art in heaven. Now, because of this unique relationship that we have with him, the God of all creation, the God of heaven and earth, your Creator, we come with praise. We come with thanksgiving. I was just thinking about this morning. And it's just, we have been given the privilege of knowing him who created this whole universe. Of knowing him in a personal and intimate way. We have fellowship with him. He hears our prayers. He speaks to our hearts. He leads us. He guides us. He walks with, that's mind-blowing. It's overwhelming to even stop to think about that for just a minute. As we get up in the morning and we see the beautiful sunrise out there, and we just see the glory of God, the heavens declare the glory of God, and to think, we know him. We know him intimately. We know him in a personal way, and it drops us to our knees, and we just say, thank you, Lord, and we praise him. As we worship him, we acknowledge that he is worthy of all praise and thanksgiving. Hallowed be your name, that name above all names, that name at the name of Jesus, every name, every tongue will confess, and every knee will bow and confess to the glory of God that Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords. But we're praising the Father now for his Son as well. Hallowed be your name. We come with understanding that this is his world, his creation, and he has a plan and he has a purpose for it that's been revealed. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we also acknowledge him for that plan that he's got, that we now, as we are in a personal relationship with him, we're a part of that plan. We are a part of his, you're a part of his plan. He's got a plan for your life, and that plan fits into his whole embodiment of creation from beginning to end. He knew you. If you know him and have come to him through his Son Jesus, he knows you, and you're a part of his perfect plan. You're a part of the plan. Now, we also acknowledge three significant things about our relationship with our Heavenly Father. One is our complete and total dependence upon him for our daily provision. Give us this day our daily bread. The second thing is our pardon. Forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And the third thing is for our protection. He's watching over us. As his child, your Father in heaven is watching over you in a way that he will let nothing happen to you or come into your life. The number one, he doesn't have, isn't part of that plan. If it's part of the plan, it's going to come. And then, but he's going to work with us because there's a purpose for it. But he's protecting us. He's watching over us. Just like with Job. You know, Job was only allowed to go so, Satan was only allowed to go so far with Job, you know, then hands off. You can't go any further. Well, our lives are like that too. We are protected. God is protecting us. He is watching over us. And so we pray, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. The one that Jesus said to Peter, he wants to sift you like wheat. He wants to mess with us in such a way that we would even doubt that he cares about us, that he even loves us, that he's even really watching over us, that he does really care about us and is protecting us. But don't allow the enemy to lie to you. You know, he's the father of all lies, Jesus said. He's the author of confusion. And you know what? That's why we need to just keep our focus on God, walk with him, just falling in love with him over and over and over and over again every single day. And so this brings us to the conclusion, which is the preeminence of God. We looked at his person. We've reflected upon praising him. We've thought about this plan and his provision and his pardon and his protection. But now we look at his preeminence, that his is the sovereign rule and reign over his creation and over our lives. And so we pray, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come before you today, and as we just look at the last part of this prayer, Lord, there's no way that we cannot be humbled. Lord, when we really, really get a glimpse of who you are and are walking with you and just see who we are, there's no way, Lord, that we cannot be humbled, that you would care about us, that you would be watching over us, and that you would give us in your Son a good shepherd to lead us and to guide us into your presence. And your Holy Spirit, Lord, we start thinking of all of these things, Lord. It just has to bring us, Lord, to a place of humility, but of thankfulness, Lord. And so we come to exalt you today, Lord, to acknowledge and to honor and to exalt you and your preeminence over your creation, the Holy One. Oh God, speak to our hearts, Lord, in these few moments that we have together now. And just bless your word and your time that we have. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the conclusion of this prayer, this particular verse, is not found in certain manuscripts. But it cannot be denied. It sums up all that we've spoken about and is in the believer's heart. And what's that? Well, that we would willfully be surrendered to our God and to the lordship of his Son, Jesus Christ. That God does reign as King of kings and Lord of lords. That there is no other ruler over this universe or in our lives. That we bow down and that we trust him to work out every single detail of our lives. From the time that we are born again until the time that we go home to be with him forever. You know, I thought of a visual to this as he says, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And you know what? I was taken right back to the 4th of July. When at the end of all the celebration, there's all these explosions, you know, that, and we see all the fireworks just going off. And I really believe that that's really how this just sums everything up. It's just an explosion of beauty and awe. As we just look into our God and look to the heavens and we see him in such a wonderful and beautiful way. Is this you? Is this how you see your God? When you think about this, does this sum up your life and your understanding and your relationship with God? That he's a real person? That he's watching over you? He has a plan for your life. He's providing for you. Are these things all elements? You see how all these elements, how all of these components just apply to us. Is this how we see our God as we're walking the course of this life, which can, boy, the roads can get pretty bumpy at times. Because Satan wants to sift you like wheat too. He wants to cause you to doubt every single word. Just like Satan came, the serpent came to Eve. Did God really say, I'll be there for you? Did God really say, I'm watching over you? Did God really say, I'm going to provide for you? Did God really say, I have a plan for your life? All these things, where are they? Are they in our hearts? Are they tucked away in our hearts? Are we confident that when we bowed our knees and accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that we knew we were coming into a relationship, a personal relationship with the one true and only God? Do we have that? Is that settled in our hearts? Bobblehead. I see a couple bobbleheads. I hope so. This benediction reaffirms that Jesus, even though he directs us to the Father, it reaffirms that Jesus has taken his rightful place upon the throne of one's life. As we read, "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever," we're seeing him who is equal in essence and equal in all that he is with the Father. But this is going to sum up Jesus for us in just a little bit. This whole prayer. So the preeminence, that all glory and power are his forever. Well, this starts us to think about, the conjunction for suggests, number one, that there is an argument for this prayer, and that each phrase that we pray in acknowledging God as a person is worthy of praise, who has a plan, who is the provider and the protector, and that he pardons. And for these reasons, we put our eternal trust in him, even for the very breath we believe and our eternal destiny. You know, some of us are so attached to this horizontal plane that we lose sight of this isn't the end of the line for us here. This is not what God intended for us here. But he has a much greater plan for us. And this is all part of the plan of God. So for, because of all that has been declared, on account of all that's gone before us and each of the components that we've looked at in this prayer. And by the way, I just want to point out one thing. Notice how this prayer, as Pastor Kevin pointed out on Wednesday night, the Trinity kind of sneaks away or is just kind of covered away in a passage of Scripture. How the Trinity, if we just look at this prayer, how it's in this prayer as well. How it alludes to the triune God that we serve and love, the providence of the Father watching over all of his creation and his eternal plan while providing for our daily needs. And then we look at the forgiveness that we receive through the atoning sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, and how we are rescued and protected from the evil one through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Whew. Wow. Big. Big. Really big. So yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Yours, God, the one that we acknowledge in our heart of hearts is the creator of heaven and earth, is the sovereign rule and reign over all creation. Over all creation forever. Yes, forever. Think about that for a moment. It's a long time. That's a long time. And it's forever and ever. Amen, amen. That's what he says. And sometimes it's really hard for us living on this linear plane to even comprehend. And I'm reminded right now of what Paul said in 1 Corinthians. That he said, "Eye is not seen and ear is not heard the things that God has prepared for those who love him." But then he goes on to say, "But you," in the next verse, "you've been given just a little glimpse into it." Isn't that awesome? Just a little glimpse into what God is preparing, what he's preparing for us to be in his presence forever and ever and ever. Man, I'm telling you, this is big. It's an explosion, it really is, to just really think of the dynamics of everything that is wrapped up in this prayer. You remember, maybe in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 16, when he says that yours is the kingdom forever. Well, who are we talking about here? See what I say, how we're alluding to Jesus? God, yes, the Father, yes. But remember, David wanted to build a house for God. And God said, "No, you're a man of war. You're not going to build a house for me, but I'm going to build a house for you. And with that, a word of prophecy was given to him that looked into the future, even beyond where we are today, to the future reign of David's greater son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who would fulfill this prophecy. In 2 Samuel 7:16, where it says, "And your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever." And so David is looking into the future of his greater son, Jesus Christ, who will reign forever. So Jesus is speaking about himself as he's really given this prayer. Because he and the Father are one. They're one in essence and in purpose and in will and all. He will be the one to reign over this everlasting kingdom and to sit on his throne forever and ever. Now, it may not seem like that today as we're seeing struggle for power to rule and reign in this world and how it's exhausting. It's exhausting. Every time you turn on the news, there's something else about somebody else that wants to raise themselves up and be the all power, omnipotent one over this earth and all. You know, I mean, that was Caesar's desire. Remember, hegemony. He wanted to be the one. And like I say, you know, after he's long gone, Jesus still lives and he reigns and he's seated at the right hand of the Father today. Thank you. Who said that? Greg, amen. Hallelujah. Sometimes it's good to get a little Pentecostal, you know? Hallelujah. When Jesus comes, he's going to establish his rule and his reign forever and ever. And it will be a reign of righteousness. And only then will this prophecy be fulfilled. And we're approaching that day when, as we read in Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. And so with that hope, and why do I say with that hope? I mean, yeah, that's nice for us to know, but you know what? We're going to be coming back with him. When he reigns, look at Revelation 19. We're going to be coming. Uh-oh, there's a hallelujah. Now we're getting carried away. Now we're getting just a little carried away. Wait till the tambourines come out, man. We start dancing anyhow. No, but that's it. I mean, the explosion is going off. We're going to be coming back with our Lord when he comes to reign. Woo! So I pray that would bring peace to your heart, as we rejoice in the promise of his word. You know, Paul writes in 2 Timothy, he writes to this young pastor that he was training up and just loved so much. And he wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, he said, "If we endure, we will reign with him." If we endure, we will reign with him. Now, not only that, but as Revelation 5:10 tells us, we shall be made kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on earth. Now, this is getting really heavy now. I mean, we're going to reign, huh? Whew, man. Till then, though, we need to remember Psalm 103, verse 19. The Lord has established his throne in heaven. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Jot that down. What a passage that is. Psalm 103, verse 19. You know, that's right now. It may not seem like it. It may seem like things are out of control. But you know what? God is not aloof to what is going on. He's not aloof to the craziness that he sees going on in this world. And Psalm 103, 19 says, "The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all." Let's look further at this verse. Not only is his the kingdom forever, but the power. I could have gotten like radio guy and the power. You have power to shut that off, Bob. You have power to shut that power off. People know where you are today. They know that you're here every Sunday, man. They know right now what's happening. You know, there are those that come to reign in office, but they can't rule because tragically they have no power. They're a figurehead, no authority. I think of the Queen of England. You know, she's just a figurehead, if you will, as an example. She really has no power when it comes to ruling the country. In the same manner, we can think of a lame duck president finishing out his term, trying to get something accomplished before he takes a, before he's departing. But it's different with what we're reading here. Remember the words of, I'm not going to go off on any of that today, so you can relax, Rick. It's different. It's different with what we're reading here. Remember the words of Jesus as he gathered his disciples out on the Mount of Olives, ready to ascend into heaven. He said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Matthew 28:18. All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. And so with his power comes authority to rule and reign. When he comes again, it'll be nothing like this world. It'll be nothing like this world has ever seen. There won't be negotiations. There won't be other treaties that are, you know, that we're looking to sign. There will be no lame deck because no one's coming after him. No one's coming after him. When he comes again to speak, he will reign forever and ever and ever. Turn to Psalm 2, because God tells us in Psalm 2 when Jesus comes and he's speaking to and about rebellious kings and leaders of the world. And God is he's setting things straight. And you got to remember, this word was written thousands of years ago. And yet man is still following down that same course. It's a defeated course. But look what he says in verse 6 of Psalm 2. And God's already seen it. He's already seen it as this is how it's going to happen. And this is how it's happening. "I have set my king on my holy hill, Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron, and you shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel.'" Now, here's the, listen up, wise up. "Now, therefore, be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling." With fear means to just give him his rightful place of honor and his rightful due in your heart. "Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are those who put their trust in him." Amen. So when Jesus comes, hallelujah, he's going to restore law and order. There won't be any two ways about it, because his rule on earth will be with a rod of iron. What do you think about that? I bet there's going to be some rebellion, because some people aren't going to like that. But it's going to be with a rod of iron. What he says, that's it. When he comes to clean up the mess that we've created here on this earth, he's going to clean it up. And there will be law and order. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 7 says, "Of the increase of his government and the peace there will be no end." How many times over and over again now in the scripture have we reading that the end, there's no end to his kingdom, no end to his rule, no end to his reign. "Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. Whew. Wow. Again, a long time. A very long time. Isn't that big? That's too big for me and my finite little peanut brain to even comprehend. You know? Forever. I thought I was going to be young forever. But I know one thing, I'm going to live forever. Huh? Huh? I'm going to live forever. And these parts that I've just had put in my body, I'm going to get new ones again. I'm going to get new parts and a new body that's fit for heaven. Awesome. But all corruption will be brought into subjection to Him. He will be in complete, He will have complete and total authority over all creation. The power. Let's shift gears here for a minute. I want to think about His power also in terms of changing lives. He has the power to change lives and to give life to those who are dead in their trespasses and sins. To give hope to those who are desperately in need. You know, every week I get a lot of people reaching out to me. And I just want to read this because this one here kind of touched me. I don't know this person, but she's hurting. But she also trusts in the God of her salvation. Listen to this. Dear Richie, please will you pray for me? I'm 6 years homeless and 60 years old. Having no car or a confirmed residential address makes starting over without much a bit hard. I believe I am walking in the fire without getting burned for a reason. There is another fire which surrounds me with a love so powerful that I'll emerge as pure silver, a drossless testimony to my Lord and Savior. God is love. My prayer request is for strength to see me through this, that He may be glorified through my testimony. Also, that the stigma of homelessness will not overpower me. I found myself shrinking away from others from fellowship, which I so need. Also, if it's His perfect will, I'd love a place to call my home someday. She's eating. I mean, it's a tough time. Lord, we just pray for this woman right now. Who, Lord, she loves You. Going through difficult times for whatever reason. She's found herself in a place, Lord, of being homeless at 60. And yet, Lord, she's not turned away from You. She continues to look to You, Jesus, the author and the finisher of her faith. And I pray, Lord, that You would pour Your Spirit out upon her. I pray, Lord, that You would answer her prayer. I pray, Lord, that she would find a fellowship where they would have open arms, even as You have open arms for us, Jesus, to reach out and to take us and to hold us and to just love us unconditionally. And I pray, Lord, that she would find a fellowship of believers in the town that she lives in or nearby, wherever, Lord, that You would lead her there. And God, that she would feel at home in that church until You call her home to her heavenly home. But thank You, Lord, for the strength that You have given her, not to take her eyes off of You, but to stand strong in You and the power of Your might, Lord. And we just thank You, God, that You would answer this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. God has the power. He has the power to heal and to restore broken lives that are devastated. Lives that are devastated by drugs and alcohol, and we see the trail that it's left in this society today. The gambling and pornography. The child abuse and all manner of corruption. Yes, His is the kingdom and the power and the glory. His is the power. He can change lives. Maybe there's something that even you as a believer today are struggling with. I don't know. But the one to whom all things are naked and to the one that we have to do, he knows. And you know what? He is there like this to you right now, saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, that are struggling with something, that are disappointed, that are doubting, that are fearful, that are consumed with something. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come, just as you are. Isn't that neat? Just as you are. He knows you're not hiding anything from him. And so if you're struggling with something, come right now. And receive that pardon and that forgiveness. And the minute you do, what the beauty of it is, that sin is cast as far as east is from the west, or whatever it is that's holding, that you're struggling with. That's what Psalm 103 says. The beauty of it. Power. Oh, wow. Change lives. Some of you may be thinking right now, before you came to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, just how close you came to crossing the line into eternity not knowing him. I did. And it terrifies me to this day. It scares me to this day to think that I could have crossed that line into eternity and wouldn't have known him, his forgiveness, and the hope that I have to spend eternity with him forever and ever and ever. And that's God's grace looking out for us even before we're believers. He's watching out, watching over us, leading us as a good shepherd. The power and the glory. The word glory is kabod in Hebrew and has many words to describe it. Honor, abundance, riches, splendor, dignity, reputation. In the Greek, it's the word doxa, D-O-X-A. And it means magnificent, excellent, preeminence, dignity, grace, majesty, and simply those things that uniquely belong to our God, to the God of the Bible. I think when we say the excellent, magnificent, and majesty of God, we start to get the picture of the glory of God. He is incomparable. Nothing compares to him. In the Song of Moses, Exodus chapter 15, verse 11, we read, who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praise, and doing wonders? Exodus 15:11, jot it down. The psalmist concurs, and it's not Psalm 135, as it may appear in your bulletin today or in your little, it's not Psalm 1135, it's Psalm 113, verse 5. See, little colon, two little dots, they can just mean so much, can't they? The psalmist, who is like unto you, our God who dwells on high? No one. No one. No one compares to him. He stands alone in glory. Glory is that which belongs to God. Turn to Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. The apostle Paul writes there. He's speaking to this church, wonderful little church of Philippi. A beautiful church, but they still had stuff. As you read through the book, like every other church, they have stuff going on. But he's telling them something here. In verse 5 of chapter 2, he says, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Taking the form of a bond servant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. When Jesus humbled himself, taking on the form of a bond slave, what was one of the things that he did? When Jesus came to this earth, what was one of the things that he did? Well, he came for you and me. We know that. But we also know that he set aside his glory. All those words that we just magnificent, excellent, dignity, grace, all, he set it all aside. He put it aside. He was God. He was and is, and even in his humanity. In his humanity, he's the Son of God. When he trusted, when he returned to heaven, his glory was restored to him. But he set it aside when he came the first time. But how do we know that his glory was restored to him? He ascended to heaven. Now, was God going to let him back in heaven? If there was, you know, if it was sinful? No, he was without sin. We know that too. But when he returned to heaven, his glory was restored to him. How do I know that? Well, I know that because one day he's coming again. And he's coming again to this earth to restore it to its former glory. And when he comes again, both Matthew 24:13 and Luke 21:27 tells us that the Son of Man is coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Not Greg Laurie. He'll be coming with him. Sorry about that. Greg's a friend of mine, so the Son of Man is coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So on his return to heaven, he was received by the Father. His glory was restored that he set aside. And when he comes again, John tells us in Revelation 4:11, when he comes again, at his second coming this time, he will now indeed receive glory and honor and power, for John says, you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. All of these are his forever. He alone is worthy. All of these are his. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. God is the eternal king, and his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Psalm 145, verse 13. He who had no beginning has no end, because he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning of all things. He is from eternity past. How far back can you think? How far back can your mind take you? He was there. How far out into the future can you go? There he is. Wow. Another explosion. You know, just another mighty explosion. And the believer's hope is to spend eternity with him in his presence forever and ever, worshiping him, praising him, exalting him, who Ecclesiastes 3:11 tells us has set eternity in the human heart. That's an interesting thought to think of too. Ecclesiastes 3:11. He set eternity in the human heart. And so we hope and pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen and amen. You know, amen. Three words believers all over the world know are Jesus, Savior, hallelujah, praise the Lord, and amen. So be it. So be it. And so we use this prayer as an outline for our prayer as we go before the throne of God to worship the Holy One of Israel. We come praising him. We come with thanksgiving in our hearts towards him to him who is the Amen and the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, Revelation 3:14. We come to him with our petitions, knowing that all promises of God are in him, are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. 2 Corinthians 1:20. And I mark down these verses from the book of Psalms, the worship book of the Old Testament. Psalm 41:13, blessed be the God, the Lord God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. Psalm 72:19. And blessed be his glorious name, that name above all names, forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Psalm 89:52. Blessed be the God, the Lord God forevermore. Amen and amen. These are exclamation points. So be it, so be it. Psalm 106. Verse 48, blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting, and let all the people say, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So what a powerful prayer. Doesn't it truly just bring us to our knees as we pray and as we contemplate how awesome our God is? Sometimes the words just seem so shallow, you know? When we think of his majesty, when we think of his glory, when we think of... you just run out of words, too. Because he's so awesome. And he loves you. And he loves you. And he loves me. And he loves Pastor Kevin. And that is with an everlasting love. Our God is so awesome. And so it brings us to a place of humility and trust in the one who is outside of ourselves to meet our every hope and expectation that we have in this life and in the life to come. You know, maybe some have joined us today, here or out there. There are those listening. That's another amazing thing. You know, there... We know you're out there. We may not be able to see you, but we know that you're out there. Every time, every Sunday that I post, you know, here's the message for Sunday morning, but da-da-da-da-da, bingo, brrrr, all of a sudden, we'll see you tomorrow, see you tomorrow, see you tomorrow, see you tomorrow. So this is church for some people. Now, we would encourage you to find a church, you know, in your neighborhood, in your hometown, in your community, but when you can't make it, we're so glad to have you here with us. Because we want to build you up. We want to encourage you, even as we want to build up and encourage everyone who is here today in the living Word of God. And this is an explosion. As we think of this, of the components of this prayer, and as we come, yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. It's like, I can just hear the July 4th explosions going off, you know. But maybe some have joined us today who question that, even tempted to believe, there is no God. Or there's many gods. Many ways to heaven. We talked about that too. I'm not going to go over that again. There are many ways to God. There's only one way to heaven. Now, why do I say there's many ways to God? Well, because it says that the time's coming when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess to the glory of God, the God of heaven and earth, that Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords. So, but the heaven, got to have that ticket, got to have that all access badge, you know, that all access badge that says, hey, I'm in. And that's because we know Jesus. But you know, it takes faith to believe, and it takes, I think, even more faith not to believe, especially when Jesus separated himself in this regard by saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then what? No one comes to the Father except through me. That's a pretty bold statement. In essence, Jesus said, no one is come, you know, going to get into heaven except through him. you know, it's not Peter that's up at the door making these rules up, you know, oh, let me see, who are you and did you come in or not? Should I let you in? Or no, Peter's just happy to be there like you and me. You know, he's going to be happy, you know, to be there. I know as we close this morning, some have believed and trusted as Jesus. And you have a hope beyond all hope of this world that one day you are going to be in the presence of the living God. How long?
Forever.
And forever. Amen. But the question remains, some haven't. Some people think that this is nothing more than just Christian fantasy. Today you got to make a decision. There's not one person sitting in this room or listening to us on the internet that will not make a decision one way or the other for Christ today. You're either going to believe or you're not going to believe. You have either received Him already, and I know that some of you, most of you that I look around in the sanctuary have, but again, I don't know everybody in here today in this small sanctuary, and I don't know who all is listening to us on the internet today. So the thing that we have to decide, is Jesus Christ the Savior of the world? But not only that, is He your Savior? Have you made it personal? Jesus made it personal. Remember out there at Caesarea Philippi when He was talking, who do men say that I am? And guess who spoke up? Peter. Well, some say you're the Christ, the Messiah. You know? Well, first of all, I said, you're a prophet. You're, you know, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. But then He said, who do you? Jesus made it personal right there to His disciples at Caesarea Philippi, who do you say I am? And He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus, what did Jesus say? He said, Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Do you believe that today? That Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through Him. That comes by you buckling your knees and speak of your heart, buckling your heart, and coming to Him in all humility, confessing before Him that He is the King of kings, Lord of lords, and Savior of the world, and more than that, He is your Savior. If you'll open your heart and receive Him today for the forgiveness of sin that came through the shed blood that He bled at Calvary's cross. Let's pray. Father, as we close today, Lord, Father, I pray that there wouldn't be doubt in anyone's mind, and I pray that there wouldn't be pride in their heart. I pray, Lord, that for all who are listening today, whether they are in this sanctuary or whether they are listening on the internet, that they would come in humility, confess before You that they have been walking a life separated from You, and open their heart to receive You, Jesus, today as their personal Lord and Savior. So that, Lord, You can get busy on that mansion up there for them so that we can get out of here. That, Lord, we come with all humility in our heart, and we praise You and we bless You today. If you've never opened your heart to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, do you feel that little tug right now? Do you feel that little thump right now? The Lord is saying, I love you. I love you so much. So much that I gave my only begotten Son, that if you believe in Him, you would not perish, but you would have everlasting life. But you have to open your heart to receive Him, to acknowledge that that work that He did at Calvary 2,000 years ago was for you, and it was for you personally. And that the only way you're going to get into heaven is by opening your heart to Him today, confessing before Him that you are a sinner who needs a Savior, and that you open your heart to the Savior of the world whose arms are open to you. Can I pray for you today if you've never received Christ and today you want to make that decision, that eternal decision in your heart of hearts today? Can I pray for you? And right where you're seated this morning, I want you to do two things. I want you, number one, to lift your head. Three things. Open your eyes and raise your hand. So I know I want you to pray that you want me to pray for you today. Lift your head. Open your eyes. God bless you. Who else? Anybody else here today? Anybody else here today? Anyone else? The Lord's arms are outstretched. He says, I love you so much. I don't want you to go into eternity not knowing me, not knowing my son. I don't want you to go into eternity separated from me forever and ever. I want you to come to me. But it has to be a decision that you make in your own heart of hearts. Some out listening on the radio today or out on the internet today. I can't see your hand. I can't see your eyes. I can't see, you know, that you're saying, Richie, Pastor Richie, pray for me today. I don't want to go another day without knowing Jesus. So I want you to pray this prayer in your heart. And you, who acknowledge Jesus today, I just want you to pray this prayer in your heart of hearts, knowing that your eternal destiny is set through faith in Christ. Pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, yes, I'm broken. Yes, I'm humbled. I'm almost without words that I can believe that I would have lived this life thinking there was something I could bring to you, God, that would get me into heaven when I know there's nothing I can bring except to believe in your son, Jesus. Forgive me of my sins, because they're many. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I believe that you, Jesus, died for me 2,000 years ago when you were nailed to that cross. But I also believe that you were buried in that tomb and you rose again. That when I cross this line into eternity, I will be in your presence forever and ever. Not because of anything I did, but only because of what you did on my behalf. And today I receive you as my personal Lord and Savior. Fill me with your Spirit. I want to serve you all of my earthly days, all of the days that are left. And I look forward to that time when I see you, Jesus, face to face in eternity. For it's in your name I pray. Amen. Our God. Woo! I mean, he's awesome. Walk with him. Draw near to him. Don't doubt him. Give him the honor that is his forever and ever and ever. If you prayed this prayer, just come over to the front over here. These guys will clear out, and someone will be there to talk to you. God bless you. Wednesday night, got a couple of meals, so come prepared for a couple of meals. We'll have a meal for the physical body. Pastor Kevin will be feeding us for our spiritual nurturing in 1 John. God bless you. Love you. God is good all the time. And all the time?